Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Haggai. Haggai, another one of the minor prophets. I know this never happens to young people, but I'll tell you, as you get older, one of the things that sometimes happens is you set out to do one thing and then you get distracted and you do something else. Kids are not like that. They're just laser focused. They never lose track of the task they're on. They're just always focused in. But trust me, kids, as you get older, and I'm being sarcastic, by the way, you kids often lose track of what you're supposed to be doing and get distracted and focus on other things. That is not something that necessarily ends in childhood. That's all I'll say about that. In fact, as I said recently to someone, and I've heard others say it, I'm now at the stage where I walk into a room and try and remember why. There was a reason I was coming in here. I was looking for something, but now I can't remember what it is. The reason I mention that is because this minor prophet, Haggai, is writing to a group of people who had gone to Jerusalem to accomplish something. They were going to rebuild the city, and they were going to rebuild the temple. They were on a mission. But when they got there, they had sort of lost track of what it was they were about. And Haggai is writing the word of the Lord to the people who were living there and reminding them of what they're supposed to do. The prophet Haggai, this is God's word. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The Lord of armies says this, "These people say the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, "Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. You have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it." The Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. "Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house, and I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but then it amounted to little. When you brought the harvest into your house, I ruined it. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Because my house still lies in ruins while each of you is busy with his own house. So on your account, the skies have withheld the dew and the land its crops. I have summoned a drought on the fields and the hills, on the grain, new wine, fresh oil, and whatever the ground yields, on man and animal, and on all that your hands produce." Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the entire remnant of the people obeyed the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. So the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, delivered the Lord's message to the people. "I am with you." This is the Lord's declaration. The Lord roused the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They began work on the house of the Lord of armies, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and to the remnant of the people. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing by comparison? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel. This is the Lord's declaration. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Work, for I am with you. The declaration of the Lord of armies. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord of armies says this, once more, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. The final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of armies. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of armies says. Ask the priests for a ruling. If a man is carrying consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and it touches bread, stew, wine, oil, or any other food, does it become holy? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai asked, if someone defiled by contact with a corpse touches any of these things, does it become defiled? The priest answered, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai replied, so is this people, and so is this nation before me. This is the Lord's declaration. And so is every work of their hands. Even what they offer there is defiled. Now, from this day on, think carefully. Before one stone was placed on another in the Lord's temple, what state were you in? When someone came to a grain heap of 20 measures, it only amounted to 10. When one came to the wine press to dip 50 measures from the vat, it only amounted to 20. I struck you, all the work of your hands, with blight, mildew, and hail, but you didn't turn to me. This is the Lord's declaration. From this day on, think carefully. From the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, think carefully. Is there still seed left in the granary? The vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet produced. But from this day on, I will bless you. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and destroy the power of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overturn chariots and their riders. Horses and their riders will fall, each by his brother's sword. On that day, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies. I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. This is the Lord's declaration. And make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day to day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us help these children.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his
The people that were being addressed here, the people that Haggai was speaking to, and he was speaking the Lord's word to them, were people who had been in exile. They had suffered much. They had returned like refugees to a place that was ruins. I mean, it was in a shambles. What had once been a beautiful, impressive place had been destroyed by invading armies almost two generations before. And it had been neglected, and it was overgrown, and it was broken down. They were building in the remnants of a former war zone. They had gone there ostensibly to rebuild the temple of the Lord. That was the direction they were given. But when they got there, they felt like, well, you know, we got to take care of ourselves first. But the more they started taking care of themselves, the more they focused on taking care of themselves. And God, seeing this, says that he had withheld blessing from them and, in fact, struck them with harm. God had disciplined them, not because God hated them, but because God was seeking to get their attention. It's like, what happened? Why are we not getting the rains we need? And God says, okay, you haven't caught on, so I'm going to tell you explicitly. It's because you are focused on your own comfort instead of on worshiping me. Does God need a physical building for us to worship him? No, not at all. When the whole notion of building a temple in Jerusalem first came up, God said, did I ask for that? It wasn't something that God needed. God created the universe. He doesn't need anything from us. But God is saying, you need to worship me. And you need to make the worship of me a priority over everything else. Because all of us are worshiping something all the time. So the problem here was not that God had no place to live. The problem was that the people had put their comfort, their self-improvement, ahead of their relationship with God. And the people weren't saying, we're not going to build a house for God. The people were saying, this isn't a good time. Okay? These people were not a lot different than us. Isn't that what we say? We're not writing God out of the picture. We're not saying, you know, I don't believe in God. We just are a little busy. We just have other stuff going on. This is not a good time. And so God said, is it a time for yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? What kind of witness is it to the surrounding nations? Because the surrounding nations don't understand that God is spirit. They were very physical, tactile, sensory oriented. And the temple represented the glory of God to the people all around. Folks, today, people will look at us and decide what's really important to us. For you adults, if you want to know what's really important to you, one place to look is in your check register. Another place to look is in your daily schedule. One of the reasons why 5 days a week we gather together in order to worship the Lord is because we want to reinforce for all of us every school day, this is the most important thing. We gather and we worship him and then we feed on his word. This is the word of the Lord. We have been reading all through the scriptures this week from Genesis through Revelation. Why? Because it's the word of God. It's the word of God. And what a privilege that we have God's word in our language and that we're able to read it. The majority of people in the world don't have that privilege. Either the scriptures are not available in their language or they're not able to read. We are blessed because other people sacrifice to make it so. So, God speaks through Haggai and he tells the people, look, you need to do this thing. And then they start doing it. They start building. And this is not like the old temple. I mean, the old temple was a masterpiece. The temple that Solomon had built was the result of years of accumulated wealth, first under David and then in Solomon's life, that was devoted to this. There was gold and silver and beautiful woods carved by artisans. It was magnificent. And now you've got a handful of people, relatively speaking, who are using whatever materials they can find. And it just doesn't look the same. And what does God say? God says, take a look at this. How many of you remember the former temple? Take a look at this. Does this look like that to you? No. God says, take courage. I'm here with you. The point is that God didn't need the structure. The people needed a focal point. But God says, I am with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. Do you hear him this morning? He's still speaking to those who want to meet with him, to those who want to worship him, to those who want to obey him. And he tells us, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. And then he says, you need to clean up. He talks about this thing of defilement. If you want to worship God, but you also want to keep stuff over here on the side that you know is displeasing to him. Okay? I mean, God, look, I'm doing what you said. God told King Saul to go and wipe out the Amalekites, kill everything, including all the animals. Okay? Just wipe them out. Don't take any spoils. Don't do this as something where I'm going to go enrich myself through obedience to God. No. This was God's wrath being poured out on a wicked people who were God's enemies, and God says, you go destroy everything. And Saul didn't exactly obey. And so Samuel meets up with him as Saul is returning, and he says, why didn't you obey what the Lord commanded you? And Saul says, I did. And Samuel says, then what is this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul says, oh, well, you know, we saved some of the best animals. The men did. I mean, you know, they did. But they're going to offer them as a sacrifice to the Lord. And we killed all the people except King Agag. King Agag was the worst of the bunch. Saul was sent to destroy him, and instead Saul's bringing him back as a trophy. And Samuel says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen, to hearken, than the fat of rams. Folks, do you understand that in your life, if you're saying, yes, I want to serve you, Lord, yes, I want to please you, but you're holding on to trash, that you know God is saying that does not belong, you need to repent. And so God calls them to recognize that their sacrifices are not as they should be. Verse 14, so it is with this people, and so is this nation before me. This is the Lord's declaration, and so is every work of their hands, even what they offer is defiled. God wasn't saying, I need more stuff. God was saying, I need you to worship me in holiness, with clean hands and a pure heart. But then God again says in verse 19, from this day on, I will bless you. Well, two more spots I need to mention. One is verse 6 of chapter 2. For the Lord of armies says this, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. Did you hear that? I will fill this house with glory. Again, God isn't saying, I need you to do something for me because I'm needy. God says, you know, I know what you're building right now is not all that great, but I'm going to make it great. I'm going to make it glorious. You may not feel real good about what you've done, but it's not your efforts I need. You are the one who needs this. You need to worship God. You need to put me first. I don't need it. God doesn't need anything from us, but God wants us to worship him and put him first because that's what we need. God says he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. The writer of the Hebrews picks this up and he says that is speaking of the final shaking. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. This present creation is going to be destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3 says it's all going to burn. And then at the end, God says, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I'll overturn royal thrones and destroy the power of the Gentile kingdoms. I'll overturn chariots and their riders. Horses and their riders will fall, each by his brother's sword. On that day, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, this is the Lord's declaration, and make you like my signet ring, for I've chosen you. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Well, what in the world does that mean? This promise is a promise that the throne of David and the line of David is being restored. Whereas before, there was judgment. Now, God is reestablishing the line of David just as he had promised. And the fulfillment of this is in Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of David who will sit on the throne of David forever and ever and ever. And so the fulfillment of this promise and the fulfillment of the temple being glorious, Jesus, you remember, said when he was in Jerusalem, you can destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they thought he was talking about the physical temple in Jerusalem, but he wasn't. Because what was the promise here? God says, I am with you. And what is Jesus called? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is the fulfillment of all this. He is the one who makes us his temple. Those who are trusting in him become living stones, and God inhabits our lives, our relationships, our worship, our service to him. And he is glorified in and through us, his people. God doesn't need a huge building. God is building a huge temple. And if you are trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then you are a part of that building. And your relationships with others are a part of that building. Your devotion to him is a display of his glory. But these folks are supposed to serve as a lesson for us, as a warning for us, the New Testament says, so that we don't make the mistakes they did. We don't have to. You don't have to repeat the mistakes of the past. You don't have to repeat the mistakes of your family. You don't even have to repeat your own mistakes. You can walk in holiness before the Lord if you'll trust him and realize he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.